Good evening. You are listening to the HIV Hour every first and third Thursdays, broadcast at 7 p.m. and repeated throughout the month. Check the Radio Reverb schedule on the website radioreverb.com. We broadcast on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and on DAB Plus Radio. You can check out our social pages on Twitter and Instagram. Our handles are at @HIV_hour, and you can join our Facebook page at HIV Hour Reverb. You can also email us at hivhour@gmail.com. You can listen and subscribe to our famous podcasts. Just type in HIV Hour at your favourite podcast platform. To listen to the full HIV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website Listen Again page. The HIV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds.
Congratulations again.
Good evening.
You've done it again.
Nice to see you all again.
In the flesh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who's that?
Yeah.
Who's that? There's a voice in the studio. Hello, everyone. Hello, viewers. Good evening. And it's, we're back. And we've got Sue back in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a couple of episodes ago, it was you and me, wasn't it? And then it was you and Sue. And now it's all three of us.
Now I'm back.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank God you're back, Sue.
Yeah. For my sins.
Have a nice holiday.
I had a super time. Just recently come back from Gran Canaria. And I'll tell you what sort of stuck out for me, apart from having an amazing time, is that one of the clubs we went into, in the toilets, had lots and lots of posters where you can get HIV testing STI tests. And I thought, I've got to mention that on the radio.
Yes.
Because I was quite impressed.
Yeah, so. It's fascinating to see what's going on in other countries.
Exactly.
So if you are listening from abroad, please let us know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So have you been, David?
Yeah, I've been really busy. So we are going to be involved in the HIV, Zero HIV Stigma Day.
Yes,
this is the More to Me Than HIV project. So we had exhibitions in Brighton a couple of years ago, and last year we had an exhibition in London. And we're really pleased to say that we're re-exhibiting again on Friday. The portraits will be slightly smaller than we had them before in the library. I'm sure we'll talk about this later on.
We will,
because we have a special guest, don't we?
We have a special guest, yes.
A very special guest.
She's raring to go. It's Eileen Nixon. Hi, Eileen.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, welcome. Well, you're welcome to come on. I'm glad you come on. But we'll talk to you in a while. So, So good show. We're kind of talking about the Zero Stigma Day, aren't we?
Quite really? Focused around that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Quite rightly so, I think, this week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, what have I been up to?
What have you been up to, Josh?
Oh, thank you, Sue.
I'm so selfish talking about myself.
It's all about you, isn't it? So. No, what have I been? not much. No, a bit. I'm just gearing up for things. Pride's coming up soon, so
yes.
that's been a few weeks. So.
Well, you did the Brighton Bear Weekend, didn't you?
The Brighton Bear, yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, we had Graham on the show recently, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was raising really money for the Rainbow Fund and other great charities to do with HIV.
I think they had a really good weekend. It was good weather, and they do a good job, them guys. So, it was really good. I did it on the Friday at Legends, which was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Ah, good.
So, yeah, it was good, and lots of things coming up. So, yeah.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb at 97.2 FM in the BrightonEra.com. And you can also we always brag on about our amazing famous podcast. So, and we have a really, really special guest in the studio. If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb at 97.2 FM in the BrightonEra.com. And you can also we always brag on about our amazing famous podcast. So, and we have a really, really special guest in the studio today. And we're going to be talking about an amazing special occasion that is happening in Brighton, our city Brighton, and Hove. I mustn't forget the Hove. I get told off when I forget Hove. We're all Brighton and Hove. Eileen, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
So what is going on the 21st of July, Friday? What is it all about?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
I know, tomorrow.
So Friday, 21st of July, is Zero HIV Stigma Day. So it's the first international Zero HIV Stigma Day. So it's going to be marked and celebrated across the world, and they're also doing it in memory of an amazing mm-hmm. woman called Prudence Mabili, who mm-hmm. was the first HIV positive woman to mm-hmm. Come out, and, yes. and that was in I think it was in 1992, so brave woman, and in memory of her, and in fact it's her birthday, so it's really important that we kind of remember her and remember what she did. So what we're doing in Brighton and Hove, we've kind of come together through the HIV stigma group that, mm-hmm. that sits within the Fast Track City to really get the message across to the public about stigma. Mm-hmm. So we've got a whole range of events starting from 12 o'clock in Jubilee Square. Mm-hmm. We have the Martin Fisher Foundation bus, where there's going to be quizzes for children, games for children. We are going to be offering HIV testing in the Ledwood Centre. There's going to be a lunch, a drop-in lunch from around 12 o'clock that's been run by Lunch Positive and the Ledwood Centre for anyone who wants to join in and just be part of meeting people. Mm. The square will be full of people living with HIV who will be human books and to talk to the public, to give first-hand experiences, to answer questions. There'll be representatives from different organisations also in the square. There will be More to Me Than HIV photographs on exhibition in the library. There'll be videos of HIV education videos, animations. There's a set of videos for children, which we've been sent by the Children's HIV Association. And I'm worried that I'm going to be forgetting something else.
We'll be there.
Radio Reverb are going to be there.
We will, yes.
There's going to be coverage from the press. We're expecting latest TV, possibly some other press. And then at 5:15, there's going to be what we're calling a rally event, which is going to be a stage event, which is going to be hosted by Mary O'Cart. And then we have a range of positive speakers. We have representatives from the council, from the Fast Track City. We have Lloyd Russell Moyle. And we have poetry. We have a speaker who is co-author of a book on how the African women have contributed to the HIV response. So we have the Rainbow Chorus. So I'm hoping that I haven't left anyone out of all of that. So it's been a real coming together of all of the organisations, and Gary Pargeter and Billy Lewis have been doing the event coordination with it, and we've been coordinating it through the Stigma Group. And I think it was Gary who said that we've kind of been waiting for something to bring us all together to focus on an activity.
Because that was going to be my first question. Why now? It's the first one. Why now? Why do you think we're coming together now to make an impact of what is going on?
It's a really good question, and I think we're quite surprised at the momentum of this, and I think everybody's been waiting to channel lots of the work that they've been doing, and as you know, there's been lots of pockets of work around stigma reduction across the hospital, in the community, different things, but actually working completely together and coordinating activity together, I think we've been waiting. We've been waiting, and this event, initially, we were all a little bit anxious because there's lots of other activities going on. There's Trans Pride, and there's Pride coming up, and we didn't want to take away from that. But actually, I think people then realised actually this is a real opportunity to talk to the public about stigma in a public setting, and to give it some profile.
And this is very different to World AIDS Day, isn't it? And it's particularly because, for us living in the Northern Hemisphere, sort of standing outside in the cold can be a bit tricky and uncomfortable. But this is almost like a festival.
To wear shorts.
I think I think we've all worked really hard together to try and get the tone right. So this is about celebrating how far we've come, but also being honest about what else it is that we need to do, and and how much stigma is holding that back, and really trying to get the public to engage in open conversations about it. So for me, I think what I would hope that people would go away with mm-hmm. is that they have spoken to lots of people living with HIV. Yeah. They have demystified,
yeah.
They have understood that, that the secrecy and they're not talking about HIV is more damaging. Mm-hmm. So I really hope that, that those are the messages that people come away with and that they want to be part of changing that.
It's tapping into those people who think that HIV doesn't affect them, isn't it? Mm. Trying to get those people to listen and to hear us, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think HIV has been a bit hidden, hasn't it, for some time.
Yeah.
And actually now it's about coming out as such and saying, actually, you know, here we are, but also these are the issues that we need to talk to you about and you need to talk to us about.
I was just thinking, and also to get their messages across of letting people understand what actually is stigma. Because a lot of people say to me all the time, but yeah, you're living well with HIV, I don't understand what the problem is. And that's great because that's how I live my life. But we need to let people know and let them get them to understand the impact what stigma living with HIV can have in the indirect effects of stigma that we see, you know, happening to our loved ones and our family. So, and I think it's just to get those messages out of the understanding what is stigma and why we're really wanting to talk about it now, just to get rid of it. Yeah,
and I think also that in a way it's a bit of a call for action.
Yeah.
You know, it is about actually here we are and this is now what we need to do. You know, we need to have open conversations. Mm. We need people to educate themselves.
Sounds like stigma's because we all living well as best we can with on the medication, which is amazing, but like stigma's become the virus in a way, because it's in a way you can look at it like that. That's the thing we have to fall.
Yeah, it's a fear effect.
Sounds like stigma's like the sounds, because we all living well as best we can with on the medication, which is amazing, but like stigma's become the virus in a way, because it's in a way you can look at it like that. That's the thing we have to fall.
Yeah, it's a fear. It affects mental health, doesn't it? It affects, you know, people's testing.
Yeah.
People don't, you know, if they don't test, they don't get diagnosed, they don't get onto treatment.
Yeah.
They don't become undetectable. They can't, you know. I'm excited.
Yes.
Do you think that the 2030 goal has have springboarded something about, you know, what we're, because we're all talking about, you know, ending, but the possible ending of HIV, you know, by...
I'm excited.
Yes.
Do you think that the 2030 goal has springboarded something about, you know, what we're, because we're all talking about, you know, ending, but the possible ending of HIV, you know, by 2030. You know, I mean, there's lots of messaging around that at the moment, isn't there? So,
I think for us locally, it has.
Yes.
I think for a lot of people, I think the Fast Track City Initiative, the HIV Fast Track City Initiative, which came in 2014, I think.
Yeah.
I think that really targeted areas of high prevalence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for all of us as you know, as a whole community, I think it focused our thinking in terms of what is it that we need to do to try and stop new cases or, you know, new transmissions.
Yeah.
What are the things? And it is about testing. It is about supporting people to stay in care.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really significant point you're making there, David, in terms of, you know, some people don't want to come to care because they don't want to be seen. You know, we have to find a way of changing that. And then addressing the stigma that exists in different levels of community and in public spaces and, you know, in people's own minds as well, addressing it at all different levels.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end because I know you've got to dash off, haven't you? So we'll definitely have you again on, Eileen, if that's okay sometime.
Lovely.
We'd love to have you on.
Thank you for having me, and we look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yes.
We'll be there.
On Friday the 21st. Yeah.
Would you just remind our listeners the quick details of it?
So Friday the 21st of July, so 2 days away, in Jubilee Square, and starting at midday with a stage rally speeches event from 5:15 to 6:15. So come along.
Please come along and support us. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Come on, meet the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, even so. Oh, oh, I'm only joking,
sir. Especially soon.
Especially soon. Sorry, sir. So, so we have a track.
Yes.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, George Michael and
Elton John.
The one.
I know.
Elton John. Thanks for coming on, Eileen.
Thank you very much for having me. Radio Reverb. Fine.
Radio Reverb. Me. God, I'm singing.
You liked that one, didn't you, Josh?
I've been watching lots of things with George Michael and yes. his life, and it's, uh-huh. he was such a nice guy.
I know.
Just the press and everything. We're just
it is, about, you yeah, know. So. We were talking about, you know, a lot of the superstars that left too early, as one would say, yeah. you know, and there's quite a list of them, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I watched an Amy Winehouse one.
Yeah.
Just watched how she kind of...
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine what she would have been like now?
Yeah.
I mean, she was iconic for the smaller, better time that she was singing and doing what she was doing.
Yeah.
And George Michael, you know, what would he achieve now? I know.
But, you know, his legacy lives on, doesn't it?
It does, and you know, people, future, you know, musicians and all of that get the inspiration from people like that, yeah. you know. So
good track. Mm. So David and Eileen have left the building.
Yeah, we were just talking just to let everyone know. Eileen Nixon, she works at the Lawson unit, doesn't she?
Yes.
And she's got. Does some amazing work there with people living with HIV. So yeah,
and she's part of the Zero Stigma Day. So.
She is certainly is big part.
So how have you faced stigma? Have you got any
Do you know
examples?
What? I'm very pleased to say I've only experienced a few pieces of stigma, but. I recently spoke about how I experienced stigma within a healthcare setting. And before I go any further, I just want to say, Josh, I am here because of the NHS. I am here because of my care, my fantastic care and my free medication. So, you know, I bow my head every single day on saying that. It was only just a couple of years ago. I went for a smear test. As a woman living with HIV, we're recommended to have a smear test every year.
Yeah.
And thank goodness, because on one of my, about 3 years ago, on my routine smear test, I had some cells come up that were precancerous. So I had to go for an incredibly invasive procedure, and you know, when I say invasive, you know, they have to numb the cervix with an injection before they burn the cells off. Okay, so anyway, you know, twitching. I know. I do what's best for my health. That was the advice. So it goes along. And I was feeling quite anxious, to be quite honest, you know, even though, you know, I've got a platform and I speak about lots of things and I'm quite loud and proud. I felt quite anxious because of that procedure. And I remember going into a hospital in Sussex and it wasn't Brighton, can I just say? And... So I went in there and I met a really nice team and, you know, I had two lovely nurses next door to me who were holding, you know, they were chatting away and obviously trying to put my mind at rest, which was lovely. And then you had the consultant come in that was going to do the procedure. And now, if you can imagine this, legs astride, okay, yeah, I know.
I'm trying not to.
Yeah, you're all in glory. Well, you've got the modesty thing over you. And they explained, you know, she explained what she was going to do. She said, we need to numb the cervix with an injection. And that made my heart stop at the thought of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no, that's fine. And then you should have done that. And she was getting ready to sort of do whatever she was going to do to burn the cells off. And she said, oh, I see from your record you're living with HIV. So I said, yes, I am. And then she popped her head around my legs like that. She said, oh, where did you get that from? Where did you imagine? I've just created the scene, right?
Yes.
Legs astride. I can't go nowhere. I can't run nowhere. I can't run and hide from and just run out with embarrassment and... Right, so I had to, you can't imagine, well, I just felt, I'm sure she didn't mean to say it in the way that she did, but the point of the matter is, Josh, she did. Where did you get that? Where did you get the HIV from?
I mean, it's not in the
right.
Not the right situation to say that, is it? That
really? That's the first thing. And why is someone asking me that anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, we quite well and understand that many people have acquired HIV from and some horrendous circumstances, correct, yeah, Josh? Yeah, you know, we're talking about sexual assault, we're talking about rape and all those sort of things. So when someone says, where did you get HIV from? You could be opening a Pandora's box of things that people are dealing with. And that's one of the things we try and teach young people when we go into the classroom and talk about HIV. It's never a great idea to ask, where did you get HIV from?
That's,
you know, you can ask about it in different ways. Oh, you how many medications you're taking? Oh, you how are you on the medication? And that may create a conversation. They may want to say something to you on how they, because young people are inquisitive anyway. But that has stayed with me, that incident, I have to say. And it did quite shake me up. And that was, I felt, a stigma situation because I couldn't do anything about it at the time.
That's very personal, that, isn't it?
Incredibly personal. I hope I haven't sort of put anyone off their tee by saying that, but that actually happened, and that only happened, can I just say, a couple of years ago.
So, well, saying about that, a friend of mine, I think I mentioned on the show before, he fell over and he broke his he did his knee in and something.
Oh, right.
Like that. So he had to go in, and on these discharge sheets, the bottom, it said something about AIDS diagnosis or something.
Right.
One of his drugs he was taking, which was totally not appropriate.
Not appropriate, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about my stigma, and I mean, it's probably been small things that have gone over my head or something.
Uh-huh.
My friends are, you know, they could say riddled, which is not a good diagnosis.
Yeah, riddled.
I'm trying to laugh at that, but, you know, it's... Mm-hmm. It's still not a very nice term.
Yeah, it's the language, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Eileen was talking about, you know, we asked one of the questions, why? Why now? Why are we talking about it? And one of the things that were raised is, you know, we're trying to get people to understand exactly what stigma is and how harmful it can be. By using the wrong wording and the wrong terminology, just the slight, you know, where did you get it from? Or, you know, and I'm sure most people don't mean to say it in those terms, but they need to understand, you know, and that's part of the whole day on the 21st.
Yeah, it's an important day, I think.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And it's worldwide as well, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, things happening across the pond, as I say, and also with lots of other organisations as well. You know, they're coming together and...
We'll have a chat. And,
Yeah.
So should we do... Are you got a story?
We sort of spoke about the, you know, the 2030 goal, didn't we?
Yes.
And it's quite interesting to see that, you know... The 2030 in other parts of the world as well, you know. So this piece of news comes from that it's called End of AIDS Could Happen by 2030, and a report. And this comes mainly from Zimbabwe, Botswana, Rwanda, the United Republic of Tanzania, and all countries with some of the highest HIV rates globally. They have already achieved, actually, which is amazing, the 95-95-95 target. That means 95%. Of the people with HIV know their status. Now that is really encouraging.
That's amazing.
You know, we're talking about really high prevalent places around the world, so that's really, really great.
Yeah,
95% are on antiviral treatment that help manage HIV and longer live healthy lives. So they're talking about, you know, what they want to achieve in these countries, which are very high prevalent. And the progress has been the most significant in the countries and regions with the most financial investments. Now, that, again, is interesting, that financial investment is being made. you know,
really important.
to get things done. Yeah, exactly. Such as in Eastern and Southern Africa, where new HIV infections dropped by 57% since 2010. So that's really good. As 82% of HIV positive pregnant, positive pregnancy and breastfeeding women had access to antiviral treatment in 2022. The number of new infections among children decreased by 58% since 2010. So that's really interesting. That, you know, it's good to see some positive things happening.
Yes,
you know, that you know, a lot of these countries get a lot of bad press of, oh, you know, that's where it all comes from. Stigmatizing. We're talking about stigma. Yeah, here we go. You know, and it's really great to hear some of the great work they're doing to try and reduce HIV. Meanwhile, new HIV infections are rising at alarming rates in Asia and the Pacific, Eastern Europe and Central Asia, as well as the Middle East and North Africa, have also seen a steep increase since 2010. These trends are due primarily to a lack of HIV prevention services for marginalised and key populations, and the barriers posed by punitive laws and social discrimination, the UNAID report stated. So it's interesting to see what other people are doing in other parts of the world and seeing the 2030 goal. You know, they're trying, but isn't it strange how they're saying AIDS, ending AIDS by that's the first thing that sort of spring to me, 2030, the AIDS goal for the 2030. But then again, if you see it, it's so very different, and in some parts of the world where, you know, so many people do die of AIDS.
Yes, and it's interesting how it moves around as well.
Yes, So, but yeah, it's really interesting to see that in other parts of the world, it's not just UK, it's not just Europe, that we're all trying to come to the same goal of ending HIV by 2030. Will we do it? I don't know, but we're going to have a good bash, aren't we?
I think we're on track. Good story, that. So I've got another one, which is young woman living with HIV and AIDS in Uganda.
Right, okay.
About stigma and discrimination. Now, I must apologise because the writing on...
Rather small. You need your magnifying glass.
I've got my, my bifocals.
Yes, it's not, they're not working.
They're not working today, or they are. They're just in my head, so excuse me, dear. Listeners. Right, Faith Natembe is a 21-year-old young girl living with HIV in Uganda. So she was born HIV positive. She is privileged to be the representative of adolescent girls and young women living with HIV in Uganda.
Why?
So that's amazing. She's also the Programs Officer Uganda Network of young people living with HIV. Mm-hmm. So she does a lot of stuff around HIV.
Yeah, amazing.
She says that the third African Girls and Young Women's Festival, organised by the African... Sorry.
That's okay.
In Nairobi, has been very encouraging and impactful to her. She says, "I'm now knowledgeable on issues of women and young girls' human rights and also how to advocate for young girls' rights out there who aren't aware."
So amazing.
That's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's coming from the young people, isn't it?
Yes.
Because if we think about it, it's the young people that are going to change future generations, right, Josh?
Yeah.
All around the world, you know. So it's these young advocates coming through, coming forward, and I think a lot of people listen to the young generation. You know, going.
I think it's like everything else, like the environment and everything else.
Exactly.
You have to stand up, don't you?
Exactly.
We're heading down. Into the depths, aren't we? So
I
we need young people who can see a different future.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I get the name right again. Natamba. That's right. She says, as a young woman living with HIV in Uganda, they face a lot of challenges. And again, it's a stigma based, like you were saying. Stigma and discrimination in our community and society is our biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. They discriminate against us until we find it difficult to associate and disclose to them.
Mm-hmm.
Finances are also another challenge facing young girls living with HIV. This is because when someone is on drugs, like antiviral, ARVs, she or he needs good health.
Mm-hmm.
She says that we are forced to work extra hard so that we can get enough money to get into balanced diets. It's all these things that we take for granted.
I know.
She also adds that she's forced to not to disclose her status sometimes because of stigmatisation from the community and her place of work.
Wow.
So, again, it's worldwide.
Yeah.
Hence zero stigmatization.
Exactly.
She finds it hard to dissociate with the community and also disclose her status because they will discriminate against her.
Mm-hmm.
She encourages young women and girls to be who they are and to speak for themselves.
Good on.
So that's amazing.
It's
a statement. Be who you are, speak for yourself because you have your rights and you can lead no one to discriminate against you. So she's currently in college pursuing a higher education and she has stood her ground against discrimination and stigma.
Wow, good for her. Well done.
Yeah, I think, as we say, we need these people to stand up.
Yeah, for us.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. It's 97.2 FM.
It certainly is.
It is, and it's RadioReverb.com. Yes, and DAB+. So just to say that if you... Radio Reverb is an independent and ad-free radio station. You can make a donation, which is so helpful to us to support our work. Every penny goes back into the running of the station, and every pound makes a difference. So please, if you can help... Go to paypal.me/radioreverb and any amount is very much appreciated. So, yes. So, you've got a little story that we... A sad story, really.
Yeah, I mean, a reverend... His name is Reverend Steve... Let me just... Yeah. Reverend Stephen Peters. It says, HIV survivor and gay activist dies at 70. Now, he was instrumental... In the 80s, you know, at the forefront of, you know, what was going on in the States.
Yes.
You know, about gay rights and, you know, rights for people living with HIV. These sort of stories really inspire me to continue why I do what I do personally, as you know. And he helped shift views around HIV and AIDS in the 80s, and he died at a ripe age of 70. Peters was known for his landmark interview with televangelist...
Ah, yes, I saw a little bit of that.
Tammy Faye Baker on her broadcast, which went to millions of conservative Christians.
Yes, I saw it, actually.
Today's Willie Guest remembers a life well lived. And we don't hear enough about these people that really literally dedicated his life and being to what he thought was wrong and wanted to make it right.
Yeah.
And that always inspires me, you know.
I did see a little clip of it. So if you go on YouTube, you'll probably be able to see it.
So
it is amazing because it's watching how she reacts and then she's just lovely and she just wants to hold his hand and all this, which is normal.
Yeah.
But as we say, stigma.
Stigma, exactly, exactly.
And amazing.
You know, rest his soul, you know.
Yes.
And thanks for the contribution, and we have to say that, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes. But, yeah. I'm just thinking.
How are you?
Injectables. How are we getting on with those?
So my injectables, I'm coming up to a full year of injections.
Has it really nearly been a year?
It's August.
Oh, my goodness.
August is my first time. So I've had, it's my six injection.
Right.
Do you know what? I'm doing all right. I'm undetectable. I got my results recently.
Amazing.
So everything's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm undetectable. I've got no, you know, what I've noticed, and I probably said on the show before, that where the injection goes in,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so sore for a couple of days. But actually, if you take ibuprofen or paracetamol and then just I use stuff called Ibuleve just to rub it around, and then the pain just goes away. It doesn't bother me. And also, you have a rest as well on the day you have an injection, just to have a chilled day or don't do too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got no lumps or anything. You know, I was thinking about this, about like this site. How will that, you know, would that create like lumps? There's nothing. It's fine, and I feel fine about it. And I was going to say, actually, if anyone's interested in the Brighton area, obviously, and wants to have a chat with me or just wants to talk how I'm feeling about it, you can always email on our email, which is hivhour@gmail.com, and contact us on the Facebook or, you know, and just ask me if you want to.
I mean, it could be that they're sort of making a decision on to do, and perhaps they're being advised it could be good for them, but they're, you know, maybe they're not sure, and that would be a great opportunity to get some, you know.
I think it's good to have personal feedback from
like a peer about it.
It's like an advocate, isn't it? Yeah. Like somebody who's gone on it, and you know, this is one of the reasons why I did it, to be honest, was so that I could share my journey with people listening.
So the next year, how's that going to be? Is that regime going to change? Is it going to be the same? What's going to happen?
It's every 2 months. So I get an injection every 2 months.
Okay.
So for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's in early days, isn't it?
It still is, isn't it?
And I think they're all looking into 6 months.
Yes, they are. Mm.
And the story me and David covered a couple of weeks ago about PrEP as a, I forgot what it's called. That was an injection, isn't it? I said it. Did you listen to the show?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Did you listen to the show?
Yes, I did. I'm trying to get it. Yeah, it sort of goes.
Implants.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh. Sorry, listeners. Yeah.
It's our age.
An implant, yes.
So it's all changing. I mean, maybe that's the way forward, you know.
It's just
good to all these little different innovations.
Will your jog regime still be the same? Because how I understood it is they're only using certain drugs, aren't they, for the injectables?
Yes,
Am I correct?
Yeah, if I can get this right, cotabravir and ribavirin. Yeah,
okay.
They use cotabravir for PrEP as well, so that's one of the things that they're looking. I mean, again, it's testing different drugs, isn't it?
Of course.
So, thanks for asking.
I just wondered. Because you're sitting quite comfortably now. Not that you never was, but I thought, I'll just ask him how he's getting on.
I appreciate it. But it's good to share the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is really important. So again, I'll reiterate, if anyone wants to
just
have a chat with me, just email me, email the show, and we can have a chat.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, Pride's coming up as well, so that's...
I know, that's again, just come around so quickly. I know we had London the beginning of July, didn't we? So, and then we've got, I believe it's on the 5th, correct me if I'm wrong, the first Saturday in August.
It starts Friday, which is the 5th. I think it's the 6th. So it's that weekend, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're doing a show on that week, so that's really good to do that. Uh-huh. So we're going to... I think we're going to have Gary Smith in, who works for...
Yeah.
CGL, which is a drug and alcohol.
Yes.
Just to give some advice.
Yes, exactly, because it's going to be a busy weekend, isn't it? It always is in Brighton.
People go a bit mad, I know I have in the past, and you can just get lost in it all.
So
it's good to have some advice. You know, we'll just do a little Pride show.
Exactly, yeah.
Are you going to be watching the parade?
Watching... No, I'm going to be taking part as...
Are you doing the walk?
Yeah, well, as part of
the... Doing the walk.
Yeah, no, I do the walk. I'm going to be representing the Terence Higgins Trust. I'm going to be one of the organisers this year for the Terence Higgins Trust.
Oh, that's newsflash.
Yes, I know. So I don't know whether they've asked me because I'm bossy. I don't know.
Do you want me to be honest? Shall we just move on?
No, Philip, who normally he's away in the Voss, if I could step in and help do some of the organising for Brighton, so, would I be doing the march walk anyway? So
does everyone have to wear bee outfits?
Bee outfit? No. I'm gonna hope. Well, no doubt you'll be working the new logo T-shirt, the 2030. The clock's ticking.
This is for Terence Higgins Trust.
Yes, the clock's ticking. The 2030 goal T-shirt. Yeah. You know, that means we haven't got long to go. So that's going to be quite a powerful message For the Terence Higgins Trust, all yellow and blue. So that will be our messaging, you know. We need to stay focused, still be on track. The clock is ticking and we can do it if we all pull together. But, you know, again, it's going to be amazing. The whole of, you know, Brighton, all the different organisations, as always, weekend, taken part and... You know.
It's a mad weekend. I've got a bit of DJing work, so that's
good. Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Friday night at the Bulldog and Sunday. I'm going to be on the street party, so...
Right, uh-huh. So I thought... Do you know, I thought you were going to say you're going to be taking part in the
I don't know where you're going to go with it.
What's that... A group from the 70s and 80s, the Village People. I thought you said you were going to take part in the Village People.
I love
the Village People.
Which one would I be then?
So? Oh, I'm trying to picture you. I can't. Leather is coming to mind, but I may be wrong. Yeah, yes.
I don't know which one I'd be? Which one would you be?
Oh, the sailor.
Yeah,
I like a sailor.
Anyway, we digress.
I know, we've gone off track there, haven't we? Apologies.
No, not part of the fun, sorry. It's good to have Sue back, actually. We had a go at her last time, but yeah, it's nice to be back. So, and also Stephen and Tony, they're not around. So I think Stephen's coming down for the zero.
Yes, he is. I'm actually, Stephen is going to be one of the speakers at the rally. He's going to be doing his Positive Voices talk. I'm also going to be doing a speech as well.
So you're looking forward to
I'm looking forward to that. So apart from all the wonderful things that Eileen says going to be going on. With the speakers and what have you. So, looking forward to that. And
I was going to go to Lunch Positive, actually, because Lunch Positive, Gary Podge is part of it, aren't I? But Lunch Positive's on Friday, tomorrow. That's at the Dorset Methodist Church, 12 o'clock onwards.
Yeah.
So you can have a nice meal before you go to come along to the rally.
Yeah, brilliant, yeah.
So, yeah, that's good.
But, it's that time, you know, I just wish a bit more sun had come out.
Yeah, well, God, it's hot in...
I tell you what. Well, no, I think it was about 4 days ago we had in Gran Canaria, we had a weather warning and it reached 45 degrees. And you could literally feel it on your legs. As if someone had lit a match and put it on the back of your legs. It was very hot. And even I had to stay in the shade for a couple of hours.
You just have to, don't you?
I know. There's not just Spain, there's Italy with high weather warnings. You know, it's all this, dare I say, the global. I mean, look what happened to the UK last year. Will we get that again? I don't know. Will we?
I don't know. I mean, we're still in July, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
When was it? It was July last year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I mean, it was only for 2 or 3 days, wasn't it?
I know. Yeah, I know. And that was very hot, wasn't it?
Underpants.
We were in the underpants. I know.
Another horrible.
No wonder there was no one on the streets. Sorry.
Anyway, moving on. It was such a good show. It's nice to have Eileen in and David.
Yes. Yeah. No, and looking forward to, you know, obviously so many things are coming up and in our wonderful city of Brighton and Hove. So proud to be, you know, part of the community here and everything, you know.
Actually, just to say quickly, I forgot to say that I went to the Lawson unit for my first... It's so good, the new Lawson unit.
I haven't experienced that yet.
It's so big as well. It's so big. You can look out to sea, you can sit there, really, really... And it feels like it's enclosed as well.
Feels
like you're on... It's like that sits... That nice space.
Yes.
You feel like... Feel part of... You feel like you're not part of, you're still part of just the Lawson unit.
Yes, yeah.
It's massive.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. We are very, very lucky.
Very lucky.
Yes.
Gosh.
So shall we let go? It's time to go.
Oh, no.
And we'll see
you. We're having such fun.
I know. We should carry on. Lots of love and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.